So I am traveling today, and I happen to be in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. So, working my way back home, I fly out tomorrow. Oh. So wait a couple more minutes here, and then we'll get going. I was in Appleton today, and I woke up to a little bit of a blizzard up there. There was like, I don't know, it was snowing and blowing, and there was like 6 inches on the ground, and it didn't last long. It got up to about 40 degrees, but I didn't bring a coat. So
no.
All right. Well, we're a couple minutes early, but let me begin by saying this was a message that built on the last one, and I really felt the importance of the Lord on this one. And I'll explain in a few minutes. But before we do that, I want to open in prayer. So let me do that now, and then I'll begin. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just lift this time up to you, and I ask that you would use it and bless it. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be totally acceptable to you. And I ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the last time we got together, we were kind of talking about a section in Genesis where Isaac had to redig some wells. And from that time until now, I really felt like the Lord was talking about two things. Number one, the Great Awakening. And the Great Awakening, when people hear that term, it means something different to, to different people. And to the Christian community, the Great Awakening is largely focused around salvation of people's souls, and then coming to know the Lord. But the way I kind of heard this in the context of this message was that there will be an enormous amount of people that will be awoken to not only the truth, but and be exposed to liberty at a level they've never had before. So part of this has to do with what I believe is the coming Great Awakening. And then part of it has to do with our participation in that. So where I want to focus tonight, I really want to focus on two verses. Exodus 3:7 and Exodus 3:8, and I'm going to read those out of the Amplified. Exodus 3:7 begins, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters and oppressors, for I know their sorrows and sufferings and trials. Then it goes on into verse 8, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand and power of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a land good and large, a land flowing with milk and honey, and a land of plenty, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now, before we go any further, let me explain those six people groups. They were all evil. The Canaanites were listed as just very evil people. The Hittites were giants who brought fear and confusion and torment to people. The Amorites were male and female prostitutes, burning children alive to the god Moloch. The Perizzites were people that looked to take advantage of unprotected people. So it was a spirit of seeking an unguarded moment in your life. The Hivites were descendants of Ham, skilled in building chariots, instruments of war. So they were always kind of in a war mode. And then the Jebusites were they exploited and polluted others through immoral activity. So these were the people in the promised land. So as the Lord showed me these two verses, I really had a question for the Lord, and it was this. So the Lord in his mercy rescued his people from 430 years of slavery, miraculously freeing them in an instant, then setting them on a journey that would take them into the promised land. Yet the promised land was filled with evil people that stood between God's people and his promises. So here's the question I had for the Lord. Why didn't the Lord simply remove those evilites from the promised land at the same time that he freed them from 430 years of slavery in Egypt? So, just to understand this, there were, I think the Bible lists of 600,000 men and all the children and the wives. So it was like well over 1 million people that marched out of Egypt towards the promised land. They're freed in an instant. They're blessed on the way out. Why is it that the Lord didn't clean sweep the promised land? Making it ready for him, and here, this is where you're going And so I kind of, as I pressed into this question with the Lord, I kind of was left with two thoughts. Number one, we learn best when we're forced to deal with our own challenging situations, and we learn least when the challenging situations are removed for us by someone else. Seemingly want to help us through our difficulties. The best example of that was last Zoom call. We talked about Isaac and the wells that he had to dig. So Isaac achieved great prosperity from and through the Lord, but then subsequently he still had to dig the wells. So if you go to Genesis 26, 17 through 18. So Isaac went away from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug the wells of the water which had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. He gave them the same names which his father called them. So point being, not only did the Lord make Isaac prosperous, but then he had Isaac actually labor and dig and redig the wells. So As we experience what I believe is the beginning of the Great Awakening, that's not going to be all of it. There's going to be a piece that we have to participate in, and there are going to be some challenges ahead for each of us individually and collectively that we have to like work through. So we will have our own house cleaning things that need to take place individually and collectively, even after this Great Awakening. There's a short little editorial that I captured last week, and was I'm just going to read a couple little pieces out of it. It's from a guy by the name of Jeffrey Tucker of the Brownstone Institute, and this was posted last week. So he says, and I quote, "The American Bastille Day is coming, not only freeing the political prisoners of January 6th, but also many of the unjustly persecuted, including," and he lists these three people, and I'm not really familiar with their cases, Ross Albright, Roger Ver, and Ian Freeman, among so many others. "That will be a day of rejoicing. Oh, and peace seems to have been broken out in some contentious areas of the world now." And I think what he was referring to was the Houthis in the Middle East now talking about stopping their aggressive action and a few other things. So on the world stage, things are changing. So the point is that you don't have to go very far to see things change and that improvement is coming. And I really believe we in the near future are going to witness what a lot of people call the Great Awakening, what we're Christians refer to as a Great Awakening, but is really, from a layman's point of view, from a person who doesn't know Jesus, it's a level of awakening of things that they were not aware of a bunch of stuff that's going to like work in the right direction, and they're going to be startled. Now, let me just pick out one of those. And one of those is economic bondage. We have been under economic bondage for an awful long time, and we don't even know it. I read a book by a gentleman by the name of Jerry Spence. The name of the book is Give Me Liberty. It was written in 1998, and it is still rings true today. Just to give you an idea of the understanding of economic bondage that we've all been under or continue to be under, I want to read a couple paragraphs out of his book. This paragraph is entitled The New Road to Hell. So I'm just going to read a couple of these paragraphs and you'll get the picture. At the beginning of the 19th century, America, both North and South, remained a nation of land, and most Americans worked the land and were reluctant to sell their lives for hire. In the North, individual families and small villages were self-sustaining. But following the Civil War, the machinery of the Industrial Revolution began to accelerate with the rapid appearance of new class of manufacturers, entrepreneurs, and large-scale merchants who utilized newly designed machinery to turn out inexpensive goods. A class called capitalists, the agrarian values of the nation began to disappear. Small farmers and individual craftsmen found it increasingly difficult to survive. The gap between those with little and those with much began to widen, and the virus of slavery began to appear in a transmuted form. The rich began buying up farms of the poor. In 1880, only 12% of the Americans worked for wages. By 1840, over 40% of Americans had become, as they were already being called, wage slaves. Once independent families were forced to become tenants or were scattered into factories, banks began to support the industrialists instead of the farmers. The metamorphosis occurred with great speed, emptying the northern countryside into the cities. In 1790, less than one northerner in 10 lived in town. By 1860, one third of all northerners lived in towns and cities working for wages. He goes on to talk about this in his book, and he explains that we've kind of been slowly brought into this without much opportunity to change anything. And so if you look at like what's happened after World War II, we used to have a family made up of mom and a dad and the kids, and the dad was a wage earner and the mom raised the kids, and prosperity set in. People began to load up in debt, and then that forced both parents out into the working world, and the kids were raised by different means and methods and different people. We continue to be slaves in an economic bondage design system. Credit card debt has never been higher, and savings is now racing to a new low. So a lot of people feel like they're losing their freedom economically, and they f increasingly feel the bondage of, the shackles that are put on them by the economic system. So what do we do with all this? And economic bondage is only one of the challenges that's in front of us. And that's the one I picked out to talk about, because it's common to a lot of people. So, like, what do we do about all this? Like, where do we start? And as I was talking to the Lord about this, I was pointed back towards Psalm 25, which I really like. It's like one of my new favorite psalms. But the game plan for where we are today and what's in front of us and our challenges and where we need to go is really summarized in a handful of verses. So I'm going to start in verse 4, and I read out of the Passion in Psalm 25. Verse 4 says, "Lord, direct me throughout my journey so that I can experience your plans for my life. Reveal the life paths that are pleasing to you." Then in verse 5, it says, "Escort me along the way, take me by the hand and teach me, for you are the God of my increasing salvation." Now that term, increasing salvation, we think of salvation as a one-time event, and it happens to people that don't know Jesus, and they're introduced to Jesus, they accept Jesus in their life, and that becomes a salvation event. Salvation is actually a broader term than that. It's the act of saving or protecting from harm, risk, loss, or destruction. So in that verse, it says, "For you are the God of my increasing salvation." So it's perpetual, it continues, and it's not limited to your soul. It is the process of saving and protecting you from harm, risk, loss, or destruction. So then you go on into, and I'm going to go skip to verse 9. Keep showing the humble your path and lead them into the best decision. Bring revelation light that trains them in truth. And then you go to 12. Who are they that live in the holy fear of God? You will show them the right path to take. And then in 13 and 14, then prosperity and favor will be their portion, and their descendants will inherit all that is good. There's a private place reserved for the lovers of God, where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. And I've said this before, and this has been my experience. Revelation comes first, And then following revelation, you are resourced. Oftentimes, we're trying to figure out how to get more resources, but we don't have the revelation. If we get the revelation from the Lord, he will not only give you the path and the direction, but he will resource that. And so it's really kind of funny. I was thinking about this, and I heard the Lord say, revelation and resources are travel companions. They always go together. So if we can start with the fear of the Lord and ask him to show us the paths, and on those paths he gives us revelation, and then once we receive that revelation, he comes right in behind it and then resources that revelation. That probably becomes, our path forward as we kind of experience this great awakening, but yet we face these giants that may show up in front of us. And I think the Lord wants us to know that we absolutely should not be startled, but he's given us all, of the resources to reclaim, our promised land. So that essentially was the message that I got from the Lord. But I sensed that it was broken into two pieces: the Great Awakening coming, and then don't be startled with the things that you have to do individually or collectively to regain, your promised land, the promises that the Lord has made to you. Don't be afraid and don't be startled. It's part of the program. So, with that said, does anybody have any questions about that? Does that make sense?
I don't know if you can
Yeah.
hear me. I've got a speaker that's far away. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you,
Yes.
Kim. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think I've heard you say before, what did you say? You said revelation and then resources. I just thought that in itself was revelatory to me once more. So I'm just chewing on what you've said. It's really powerful. It's really good. So thanks, Jim.
So, and let me speak to that just for a minute, because revelation, and the type of revelation I'm talking about, is it's such a powerful aha moment where you go, of course it works that way, or oh, this is why I'm walking around on the face of the earth. This is why I'm here. It's that level of discovery.
Okay.
And it won't be confused with you. And maybe just a good idea that you came with. This is so powerful that it kind of takes you by surprise, and you're kind of like blown away because it's such a powerful truth that the Lord is landing on you. When you get that, act on it, do it, obey it, listen to it, and then as you walk down that path, resources are going to seek you out and find their way to you. Because the Lord doesn't give you a revelation and then go, good luck, I hope that works out for you. That he's bigger and better than that, and we have to expect that. So I would encourage people to really, really press into, Lord, what's my path? What do you want me to do? What are you showing me? What am I, what am I not seeing that I need to see? And one day, as you stay, in that mode, you'll be shocked at what the Lord drops in your lap in the form of revelation. And that's when it all begins. That's when it gets like really exciting. So,
Amen. Hey, Jim, this is Holly. Can you hear me?
yeah, yep.
So, this is kind of fun. As you know, we're building a barn, and as you know, we our accountant and our lawyer said, you know, you really can't use, because it's personal property, you can't use ministry money. So, you know, you feel funny, you know, asking for donations that are not receivable, they're not deductible. So it's like, well, this is really the Lord's thing. I don't have a huge desire to build a barn, but he does. So I kind of, we just kind of said, okay, well, you know, sure thing, Lord, how do you want to do it? So I wake up one morning and I was in the spirit, and I just knew, hold some money. When I left Office Max, because I was there many years, there was a, you know, like a 401k type of employee match retirement fund. And it, you know, it just sits there till you retire, which I'm still not retired. And I felt like the, like I just had this, oh, I'm supposed to use some of that money. And here's where it gets really funny. So I go into my account, and I had probably 2 years earlier bought Nvidia, which is a chip stock
Oh
in
yeah. Oh
the
yeah. Oh my
IRA.
goodness.
Yeah, as you may have guessed, I mean, it went from, I'll just give you some numbers. It went from like 15 to 95. So
Yeah.
I said, oh, okay, so I'm just gonna, like, he told me, here's how much you take out. And then that's gonna, you know, help with the barn fund. And I mentioned it to Lori, and she said, oh, no, that's funny, because he told me the same thing, because she had a thing. So now, fast forward, that was what, like maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe. So I go back in. The stupid thing is higher now. It's high, it's more now
Yeah.
than it was before I took the money out. So it's like God is almost laughing, saying,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
you know, oh, here, you need some money? Here's some money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because so if I'd have been in the box of looking for people to give that, you know, or if I'd have cared, you know, if I'd have been like, oh, you know, it's not a big thing to me.
Yeah.
But what a blessing to just go along and go, oh, okay, we're doing this. Oh, okay, we're doing that. And it's like there's such a freedom to it. We
Oh
don't have to
yeah.
do all this stressing. Rev, you're
Right.
right. Revelation is makes it all so easy.
Right. That's a great story, Holly. That is a great story. 'Cause the Lord brings things in that he can see the end from the beginning, and he knows how he's going to manipulate everything. And like in your case, he's probably like, hey, Holly, what do you think of that? Wasn't that like a really, isn't that a cool thing, So.
Well, it is cool, and especially you might remember I had a dream like 4 or 5 years ago of a few coins turning into these huge stacks of coins, and it happened 3 separate times. And then in the dream, I bought my grandma's house to use in, as an office, which would make no sense in the natural because it's, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere. Well, we moved into this house, and when we moved into this house, I'm like, oh, this is like my grandma's house. This is like her farm. This is like her area. And now I'm watching God kind of in a funny way create money where there was no money. Oh, anyway, just a fun story.
No, that's awesome. That's a perfect story. Laura, you might have a story too.
Me? Are you talking to me?
Oh, I said Lori. Is Lori on the
Oh,
line?
Lord. Yeah.
Lori.
Yeah, I always got a testimony of multiplication. Let me just get one from the Holy Spirit. Well, I'll just tell you about the truck.
Yeah, that's
I'm
the one
out
I
here
was thinking
working
about. So you
it.
tell that one. I gotta hold on.
So,
You tell a story. I'll be back in a minute.
okay. So the Lord has always picked out my vehicles, and I don't care what I drive. I never care. I don't have a desire. And whenever I need a different vehicle, I always say, Lord, you know, could you help me? Because I don't even know what I need. You know best. You see it all. You know best. And, you know, some of you guys know the stories when he gave me that upgrade of the VW Touareg. That thing was like a Cadillac, and I never did know how to drive it with all the bells and whistles. And then the day set, he said, time to sell it. And so I sold it. And when I sold it, it was back when, I think back in COVID days, and you couldn't get used cars. Everything was like, so the price of my Touareg went up in value really high. I sold it for more than I bought it for. And so fast forward, he tells me to buy the Prius, and I laughed when I thought, you are kidding me. And so I went from a beautiful, luxurious VW Touareg to an older Prius that, it didn't even, it doesn't even have Bluetooth. I had to put it in. And that I was like, really? This, you always upgrade. What is up with this? And but I was obedient and I bought it. And I think Kim, you were with me when I picked it up and we were laughing, like, God really picked this out. But I want to tell you, that car has been a blessing. And we take it to Colorado. It's really good on gas. That thing has had so much stuff in it, hauling and picking up stuff. And so driving the Prius and just liking it, and that car grew on me because I knew the Lord picked it. And then we're here on the farm and there's a lot of construction taking place and we need different equipment. And we were using Holly's Honda Pilot to haul stuff, and I'm out there weeding in the front yard, and there was this faint, very faint, Holy Spirit whisper. One of our friends was selling their truck, and I have no interest in a truck, but like 3 days before that, we went to pick up a used tractor to do some grading and stuff, and we pulled that with Holly's car and this trailer, and we prayed that the angels would keep that thing on the trailer. And it was so, it actually, when we loaded it, the car went one direction and the trailer went another because it just was too much weight with that tractor. And we got it in, do we get that in Ohio?
Iowa.
Iowa. So it was quite a far drive, but we prayed and I felt like it was safe to drive very slow on the way home. And so I didn't even say, Lord, I need a different vehicle. I wasn't even thinking that. I'm thinking weeds. I'm pulling weeds. I was pulling weeds with one of my friends, and I hear that faint whisper to call my friend who was selling their truck. And I truly did not know why, because I wasn't thinking about buying a truck. And I thought it was more of a prayer assignment. I was going to reach out and pray for them. And this is also right before a conference, so we're crazy busy, and the last thing I have time to do is go look at a truck that I have no intentions of buying. And back up a little, I remember the Lord had me go up to a car dealership in Antioch. I was thinking I was buying a car, and I got it all set up. I walk in there, and he says, you're not buying the car. And I'm thinking, why am I here? And I, for that time, I was there to help somebody who was about to get swindled by the car dealership. And so, I believe those people prayed, Lord, help me. I don't want to get taken. Help me. And, they were going to get taken. And I gave them a word from the Lord as I left. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm just going to pray for these people because I know I'm not buying a vehicle. But I also know the Lord sends me into places like that with no intentions of buying a vehicle. So I make the phone call. And the guy says, when do you want to look at it? And I'm thinking, I don't have any time. But I had a dentist appointment that earlier that night. So I swing by afterwards, and they're giddy as two little college kids, like on their first date. They're like all giddy. And I'm thinking, I think I'm supposed to pray for you guys, but I'm not sure what it's about. And they got their new truck, and they're, and I like vehicles. And so I said, oh, let me see your new vehicle. And I'm looking at this truck and their new one, and it's very much like their old one, but only a newer one. And they say, you want to take the truck we're selling for a test drive? And I'm thinking, okay. Now I have no intentions of buying this truck, and I'm waiting for the opportunity for prayer to come forth. And I get, and they're telling me all the bells and whistles on this thing, and I don't care because I'm not keeping it. It's not mine. I'm just driving it. I'm just on an assignment from the Lord. And so I drive down the road and I hear the Holy Spirit say, how do you like this truck? And I said, we're talking internally. And I said, oh, this is a really nice truck. But still, I have no idea that I'm about to get blessed with this truck. And so we get all back. And on the way back, They're like, well, what do you think? Do you like this truck? And I said, oh, it's really nice, but I don't have the money to buy this truck. And to be honest with you, the Lord always picks out my vehicles. And they both start giddy as can be and say, we heard from the Lord, we're supposed to give you this truck. And so, you know, I start crying like a little baby because I just was so thankful for God's. He's so kind to us, you know.
Right.
He tends to our needs when we don't even know what our needs are.
Exactly.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's whatever the gift is that the Lord is giving, they're all special. It could be a $5 gift or a $50,000 gift. When it comes from the Lord, there's
Yeah.
something that happens in your heart. It's just like
Yeah.
a heart connection. And, you know, I ended up getting that truck, and that truck, they insisted, like, you're driving it home now. Like, when they heard from the Lord, they didn't delay in the blessing.
Yeah.
And so there was no opportunity for the enemy to come in and say, did you know, they heard it like three or four times in the day before. And it wasn't like it was a very sharp give Lori that truck. It wasn't like, you know,
Yeah.
there was no room for debate if you're obedient to the Lord. And so, you know, we're driving home and I'm thanking the Lord, you know, so much. I just was so, he's so wonderful. And, you know, I get home and I didn't even tell anybody that God gave me the truck because it was so intimate with the Lord and his kindness. And so I didn't tell any of my friends or nothing for a while. I mean, Holly knew because it showed up at the door. and so, you know, I'm for like a week, I didn't tell anybody about it. And like, I actually would just go sit out in the truck and hang out with the Lord and just worship him because he's so kind. And he
Yeah.
always, most testimonies I testify on. And so, you know, I'm an open book and the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it just was so intimate because it was so special. And I was like, you know, I don't want to share this moment yet, Lord. And so I didn't share it for a long time. And not because I was hiding anything, because it was just so intimate. It was, you know,
Right.
it was a truck, but it was God's truck. And I call it my my big God, I'm going to get in my big God truck or whatever it is, big girl God truck. And because it's hard to get in, I mean, it's a big
Yeah.
truck.
Yeah.
And we have hauled so much stuff with that truck for the farm here. We've gotten so many building materials, and it has just been a blessing.
Yeah. That is a fantastic story, Laurie. That is
Yeah.
that should fill all our sails, I'll tell you. That's a great story. And you know, when you it's been my experience that when I trust the Lord like 100% and whatever it is, he doesn't have a choice but to respond. He has no place to go
Yeah.
but to respond to my faith, because it's the word, and it's what we've been instructed to do, right? So when and I know I've said this before, and pardon me for being boring, but when you don't have a secondary plan and you're all in with the Lord, he has no choice but to respond to you. And but
Yeah.
when you have, you know, a B, C, and a D, and you give the Lord, you know, a day and a half to pull a rabbit out of his hat, and that doesn't happen the way you think it should happen. And I mean, he already knows that you don't have faith. You're trying him on for size, and you've already got your B, C, and D. And when you have your B, C, and D, and believe me, I'm speaking from experience, it's almost like the Lord goes, go ahead, you know, do you could absolutely do it that way if you want to. And you know, I'll talk to you in a week. And
Yeah.
you know, it's just been, you know, I've learned that lesson the hard way. And I know that when I'm up against it, and I just give it all to the Lord, invariably there's always a breakthrough at some level. And
Yeah.
you know, I just I you know I I'm kind of lost for words, but it works. It works. It just works.
It does, Jim. And you know, a backstory on the truck is, you know, when I was really going through a hard time, I was, you know, financially everything was shook. And you know, some people know my story and some don't, but you know, I kind of lost everything. And it was by choice. It was obedience to the Lord. And not everybody goes this path, but I remember I was cashing in. You know how women, you know, like if we have a broken ring or if we have a missing earring or a half a necklace, you save those in your jewelry box, the gold ones and the silver ones. And I was taking those into the jeweler to get money because I needed money. And you know, that was plan B. And so when I went there, I think I got like I don't even remember the money anymore. I think it was like $125 or something. And you know, I really needed that money. And I heard the Lord say to me, "I want to buy you a necklace." And I'm thinking, "A necklace? I'm okay." You know, and so I walk over to this. They had like estate jewelry, and I see this necklace, and it like does like a twinkle, like a whoop, and I'm like, "Oh, that's the necklace." And I picked up the necklace and I bought it, and I can't remember the price on it anymore. Do you remember that story or no?
I think it's $75.
Yeah, so I think it was $75. So that's leaving me with not much money to live on. But I knew the Lord wanted, he said, "I want to buy you this necklace." And so, well, how does that work? So I hand him the $75 to pay for the necklace, and I loved that necklace. It was like so special. And what was happening was I was learning to trust him, and he was loving on me, and I was not worthy of a necklace. And I certainly couldn't justify that at that time in my life to spend $75 on a necklace. And so fast forward a couple days later, somebody comes up to me and says, "This is for you." And they hand me $75. And I knew that God was making good on his debt, so to speak.
Yeah.
And what that taught me was trusting even when it doesn't make sense, and obedience even when it doesn't make sense. And so I would wear that necklace all the time, and then I lost it when I was living in the prayer room in the basement. There was a flood one time, and I lost the necklace. And so the last flood, I had to demo the basement, and I found that necklace in the crack of the wall. Down way deep, and it was a little beat up, and I cleaned it up, and I started wearing it again. And you know, then I didn't wear it for a long time, and then I just started wearing it like maybe about a month before I got the truck. And it's just special because it's from
Oh,
Jesus.
wow.
You know, it's just special. And I don't talk about it, and I'm wearing it. And after I got that truck, it was like, I don't care if it's a $75 blessing or a $10,000 or $50 million blessing. It's not about the dollar value. It's about the love. And he really does take care of his kids. And I just felt like I should share that part of the story too, Jim.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. And here's the other part. He's anxious to demonstrate.
Yeah.
It's like that he's not begrudgingly, oh, I've got to do this now again. That's gonna kind of like put a dent in my reserves. He's anxious to, he wants to. He's got every blessing already like prepared for us. And as we trust him, it's just exactly what you just explained in those two stories.
Well, I think people try to work things out in their flesh way too much. And, you know, if we ask, he will not withhold anything, any good thing. And you know, I've learned to ask. I remember when I had nothing, and I needed to get a remnant of carpet moved into this house that I had started to rent. And I was like, "Lord, I can't lift this. Could you send me somebody to bring this carpet in?" And not even a half hour later, I look out the window and there's a guy parked outside, as though he was waiting. And I went out there and I said, "Could you help me?" And he certainly did, you know. And he was like a service guy. I don't know what he was doing, but you know, God will provide if we ask. And it's true, you know, it's not that difficult.
Right.
I was gonna say, sometimes we make it difficult because we're so emotionally engaged in the process. And so, you know, like the thing with the barn, if I was real emotionally engaged, like, oh my God, we have to do this, you know, you don't have to do that. It's like just, okay, what are we doing now? Oh, we're doing this. Okay. So there was zero emotional engagement up or down. It's like, oh, cool, we're doing this. Okay, cool. And the older I get, the more I realize, you know, we don't have to freak out. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be scared. It really is a trust thing. And, you know, the more you walk with him, the more you trust him, because the more you see, he never fails his word, never fails his word. Lori was saying you trust, she trusted when it didn't make sense. Well, that's what makes it trust, is it doesn't make sense. If it's made sense, it would be, you know, that's what makes it trust.
This is good, good stuff. And I think, we're coming into days where we're gonna see more and more goodness of the Lord. And the goodness of the Lord, like a part of your life. Make it, like expect it, because he's just such an unbelievably loving, caring God that just like loves his kids, and he really wants he wants to have us know him in like even a lot of different ways, and that's one of them. So I just felt like the Lord was really pressing in on this one this time. I felt like it's important to experience victory, watch victory take place, watch things move in the right direction, but then don't be sidetracked with an obstacle that shows up. Don't let that dissuade you. Don't let that convince you that the Lord is good, but not really all that good. So don't be afraid of challenges. Just like you trust in the Lord, give those to the Lord. And I've watched Janet. She's on the call now. I've watched her grow significantly in the Lord, and she asked the Holy Spirit everything, like everything. And it kind of like when I like watch her like operate that way, I think like, oh my goodness, I've got to stop figuring so many things out and start trusting the Lord for, like every decision. And he's really, I believe the Lord is like worshiped when we do that. I think that's a form of worship. And
It is. Amen. Amen.
we take ourselves out of the picture, and we put the Lord back on the throne where he belongs. And he'll direct your life as much as you'll let him. So all really interesting stuff, but I really felt like the Lord wanted us to know as a group, things are going to change. They're going to change for the better. There's kind of like a great awakening coming, but don't be discouraged when, challenges come along the way. Trust him for those too, and you'll be able to work through. And when you work through those little challenges, your faith grows exponentially, and you just learn to do it more and more and more. So, I think he was like showing us the answers before the test shows up. So that's what I felt like. Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Any other comments, guys?
Out and put it out there. I was asking the Lord some questions about a lifelong challenge financially, and So I don't think it's the first dream that I've had where this happened, but I'm just going to share the most important part of a dream that I had after asking a series of questions the other day. That night, I had a dream that my wallet was missing. And so I'm like asking the Lord, okay, what? Like, now what? And I don't know. I'm just like, maybe I just need to wait and see what he shows me. But I didn't know if you had anything on that.
So,
Yeah.
that was the dream, Kim?
Was the dream. I was leaving a camp, so that's a good, I think. Well, yeah, it was good. That was like a Christian camp, and it was over, and we were supposed to go get our stuff, and I had a sense that they had trusted the Lord. I don't know. There was like this big thing. People have their valuables, and I was like,
Yes.
where are the keys? Where's my wallet? I don't see mine. And I'm pretty sure I found my keys, and then I realized my wallet was missing, and then I woke up. I had no idea
Kim?
where it was.
Hey, Kim, this is Janet.
Yeah.
Well, when you said that, I actually got kind of like, it's not so much about a financial thing, it's about identity. And I believe, when we know we're the king's daughter, we're the and the inheritance. I mean, because, and I listen, this is a huge struggle that was all my life, where, that whole thing of when we're brought up with that spirit, even of poverty, and we don't know who we are and whose we are, there is that struggle. Now, I know you know that, but I just wonder if there is something still that maybe the Lord is showing that is even more where Jim's talking about that revelation. And when
Right.
we have that revelation of the real truth of who we are, that whose we are, and that is just like another piece of our healing in that whole thing. And I feel like, because you've come a long way, baby. And I just felt like immediately I thought, okay, this is still part of the healing of identity, and that's, I mean, when I say this, I say it for myself too, because this has been a kind of a struggle all of my life to know, when you know that you are the king's daughter, you are the king's, you're in that kingdom, you are the daughter of the Most High. But it's so far from what we were taught, and I just
Yeah.
feel like you're coming into that truth of that revelation in your life.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Just gonna add a quick note there. It is just so awesome, Janet. Thank you. That was awesome about the identity. That really rings. But one of the things I want to add is when you're getting your new identity or when you're realizing it, it's great to know you're the king's daughter, but it's almost like you've moved into a new home, and that home is in heaven. And one of the things that helps is to begin to picture, I know it sounds crazy, but begin to picture yourself in heaven. Picture yourself, once your focus changes about where your home is.
Yeah.
And when God took me years and years ago, God took me, we were actually praying in a prayer meeting. We were praying for one of Edgar's trips to Africa. And I was sitting on the couch and instantly found myself in the spirit, in the temple of God. And an angel was opening the storehouse of heaven to show me how it worked. And once you get a revelation of that, then you never read the scripture the same again, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus,
It,
because
right.
his riches and glory are so vast.
Yeah.
But if you grew up with a different identity, you may be, and I know you're out of this now, but it can be when you haven't got that new identity, it can be tempting to think, well, that's great for other people, but we have to retrain our mind to know, no, that's me. That's my house. That's my temple. That's my mansion in heaven. I'm his kid. All things are mine. The Bible says all things are yours. So we have to reconfigure our thinking. And I know this is out there, but sometimes the best way is to picture it. Just do the best you can to see and picture. If he doesn't sovereignly show you, see it through the word or see it in your mind's eye,
Right.
because it's physically already a reality. He has already changed your location, your seat in heaven's place. He's already changed your identity. But we have to make the shift sort of in the way we see who we are and where we are.
Yeah.
And really, once it gets easier and easier, but what God really wants is for you to have such a reality that you are in heavenly places and you distribute to the earth from heaven what you need. Boom. So it becomes much easier.
That's
Well,
so good. I just wanted to say one more thing, if that's okay. Just in the dream, it was my life, like my literal wallet, which happens to be brown, which I know means flesh, and it's what leather, it's a brown leather wallet. And as Janet and Holly were talking, it was like, oh, I saw that as a bad thing that my wallet was missing when I woke up, and I've been blocked since then from understanding anything further. But when I asked the question and Janet and Holly spoke, my mind shifted and I got revelation just from them talking. A little opening happened because it was like, oh, that wallet needs to be gone. I need to be up in heaven, in his riches and glory, and seeing in my mind, whatever, meditating on letting him show me the storehouses of heaven. That's the resource. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what happened with me.
Totally makes sense.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I mean, this is, thank you for the stories, Holly and Lori, and Kim. That's really good stuff. The Lord is anxious. He's anxious to, show his goodness and really kind of introduce himself to us on a different level that maybe we don't know. And I mean, I feel like the Lord is like anxious, antsy, wants to do it, really loves his kids and loves us beyond what we think we deserve and well beyond that. And so I think we're coming into days where there's going to be demonstrations of his goodness that are just going to like blow us away. Just going to blow us away. And we're Christ followers, right? So like what happens to these other people that don't know Jesus and they experience like some of this stuff? And I think we're going to be in into some different days, but I'll tell you what, the Lord's faithful. He's going to like get us through, and it's going to be a glorious day on the other side of this thing. And we're going to, I really believe we're going to witness a great awakening, and it's going to be awesome. So let's get this thing down. Let's get it. Let's give the Lord an opportunity to really demonstrate who he is in our life. And so what, if nobody has any other comments or questions, I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your unending love for us. And it's like your word says in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for what you're going to do in this group with these people. I thank you for the new stories and the testimonies that are going to come because people have gone to a new level of trust in you. And I'm anxious to hear those stories, and I'm anxious to see what you're going to do with everybody. Anyway, yeah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, guys, we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Good to see you guys.